You're on Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and this morning we are doing things slightly different. We are pre-recording as I'm locked down in City of Parramatta and the studios are in Baulkham Hills. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm very well, Darren. Good morning to you and good morning to all our listeners and good morning to you, Gracie.
And that is Gracie, who's from the Australian Museum's Frog RD project and is our first guest. Good morning, Gracie.
Good morning.
Now, what I want to know about, and I've been using a little bit, is what is Frog ID all about?
Yeah, so Frog ID is a citizen science project that is focused on mapping out and better understanding Australia's frogs. So it is Australia's first national frog count. It's a free app that you can download onto your smartphone. So it's available on both iOS and Android, and anyone can participate. You literally don't need to know anything about frogs. All you have to do is make a 20 to 60 second recording of a frog call and then submit it. And then that recording gets sent off to the Australian Museum, and there's a team of about 10, 15 of us that will listen to your recording, and then we'll tell you all the frog species that are calling in that recording.
So, Gracie, are you one of the reviewers of the Frog ID recordings? Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I am one of them.
Well, that's wonderful. How long have you been doing that for?
So I've been doing that for about coming on to 2 years now. So I've learned a lot of the different frogs across Australia and particularly the eastern part of Australia.
And Gracie, can I ask you a question? What has made you fascinated about frogs? You know, we all get to do things and see things, but you have such a love of frogs. How did that come about?
Yeah, I think I've always had a love for the natural world and the environment. I loved getting outdoors. And I think throughout uni, it really became apparent to me that frogs are one of the most threatened groups of vertebrate animals in the world. But in addition to that, they are also very understudied. So I wanted to do something to help out our frogs a little bit and improve our understanding of them.
And has that love grown into doing, you know, further studies and research? I mean, that really is the climax of what you're doing at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, so it really did inspire me to do a PhD. So, you know, I'm currently into my third year of my PhD at the moment, and I'm researching how frogs are responding to human-driven habitat modification. So how they cope with places like our cities and our farms and places that are really quite urbanised and quite modified.
And Darren, I hope you don't mind, but when I was looking at this, I started to see this, and I'm really interested in when people get such a love of something and they do this massive amount of research to study frogs and their habitats for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years is incredible as a focus. And for our listeners, is there anything that you've initially been able to unearth, to use another term, with regards to frogs in urban habitats?
Yeah, so my first research paper of my PhD came out pretty recently, and the big focus of that chapter was really using Frog ID data and citizen science data to understand how frogs are coping with the human world. Some of our initial findings was there's a bit of good news and a bit of bad news. The bad news is we found that most of Australia's frog species are intolerant of human-modified environments. We found that as many as potentially 70% of our species don't do well in urban environments. They don't do well in cities and farms. I guess the good news is that the rest of the 30%, do quite well. They are quite tolerant, and they're perfectly happy living in our backyards, for example.
That's amazing. Time goes so quickly, Gracie. I'm really interested in, you know, why is it important to really get an understanding of frogs and to track them and to understand their world in the context of our ecosystem and so on? What significance do they do for us as human beings?
Yes, you may have heard that frogs are really important because they're a sign of a healthy ecosystem. So they are what we call bioindicators. So they're really sensitive to changes in the environment, to changes in temperature, for example, to pollutants in the environment as well. I'm not just talking about chemical pollution. I'm also talking about, say, light pollution and noise pollution, because frogs call to attract a mate. So they need to be heard over, for example, traffic noise. So when we see declines in frog numbers, when we see frogs showing up sick or dying, it's a clear sign that something isn't right within the ecosystem. And frogs are also a really important part of the food web. So a lot of animals eat frogs or tadpoles. So other reptiles, birds, fish, mammals, sometimes even other frogs will eat frogs. And frogs also eat a lot of other animals like insects, some of them which may be pest species. So they are part of a very interconnected ecosystem. And if you think of it like a chain, if you take away one of those links, then the whole chain or the whole ecosystem sort of falls apart.
And what fascinates me when I say that, one which is compassionate, is the whole area of urbanisation, the impact that that's having on those habitats, particularly on the eastern coast board. Must be really catastrophic, or your studies are leaning towards the adaptation and the things they have to do to continue to survive.
Yeah, so there are quite a number of species, you know, in our area in Sydney that are... quite tolerant, but quite a few that are intolerant. And so, we find that a lot of the tolerant species are the ones that are really generalist. They don't really mind where they live. They can live in a whole range of different habitats. You know, as you mentioned before, the striped marsh frog, that's one that, you know, does really well in urban environments. But there are other species of frogs that are quite specialised. They have to live in a certain type of habitat. They have to lay their eggs in a certain type of habitat. So then they don't do particularly well.
I find that really amazing. You're on 90.5 FM on Spotlight with Dan and Jim, and we're talking to Gracie Lewis, looking at the whole aspects with regards to frog and the Frog ID project. I find it really interesting. I think we'll go to a little break, Darren, and then come back after our little episode and some songs. You're on Alive 90.5 with Darren and Jim, and we're really excited on Spotlight this morning to be talking to Grace Lewis to tell us about the world of frogs and her studies and so on. Gracie, when we talk about frogs, we were talking about how important they are to the ecosystem and so on, and we're talking about how you find them so fascinating. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I'm fascinated that you're fascinated in frogs.
Yeah, so like I said before, frogs are a really important part of ecosystems. In Australia, we're really lucky to have over 240 species of frogs. Most of these are found nowhere else in the world, so they're really unique and special to our country. Unfortunately, we have had quite a number of reports of sick and dead frogs from across Australia recently. Mostly across the eastern states of Australia, so New South Wales and Queensland, but also a range of other locations. And this is really concerning. Frogs are generally quite cryptic animals, so a lot of them are really small, a lot of them are nocturnal. They spend a lot of their time hiding away, whether that's, you know, in vegetation or underground. So the chances that you're going to see a frog is generally pretty low if you're not going out specifically looking for them. So the fact that hundreds of people are coming across dead and dying frogs recently is really concerning. And so a big priority now is to for scientists to try and get to the bottom of this, to find out, you know, what's causing what appears to be these mass mortality events of frogs. It's really something indicating something is not right in the ecosystem.
So Gracie, it's Darren here. Does that mean that some frogs are going to overtake others? So we're talking about earlier that the striped marsh frog, and I assume also the Perrin's tree frog, which I know is around my location, are they going to take over other frog species? And is that a problem of concern?
It's not particularly a matter of taking over per se. They sort of live in different sort of environments. So a lot of the frog species live in different habitats, so they don't necessarily compete directly in that regards. But the striped marsh frog and the Perrin's tree frog, for example, they do really well in people's backyards, and they'll often coexist together. So sort of taking over isn't something that we're hugely concerned about at this stage.
Gracie, thanks for that overview with regards to looking at the whole aspects of different types of frogs. I'm wondering, is there any adaptation taking place with regards to various types of subspecies within those? That's really what I I wanted to find out about is, are we starting to see science and biology taking on new dimensions as a result of changes in environments?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's something that's still sort of under investigation. So something that I'm looking at is whether or not frog calls can change, and when they call, for that matter, can change as a result of habitat modification, urbanization. At this stage, we're not really too sure whether or not they can do that, whether they can adapt. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting question.
Well, thank you. We always have interesting questions on Spotlight, don't we, Darren?
We do, Jim, we do. that's one for you, I think. But now, Gracie, all about the Frog ID, the app. I'm so fascinated, and that's what got me in contact with the Australian Museum, who are the back of the project. And I just want to know, what's the sort of like technical resources that goes into like the recording? And I assume that when you record it, you've got to make sure if the rain's coming, how you can listen to the frog over the rain. Now, is that a lot of technology, or is it just your ears hearing the frog above the rain and those sorts of things? How does that all work when you're reviewing recordings?
Yeah, it's another good question. A lot of the time it is just literally us listening to the recordings. So it really does help us if someone's given us a really good clear recording of a frog. But it is pretty common for us, particularly over the summertime, to get quite a number of species calling in the same recording, sometimes 6-7 species. Our current record is actually 12 species in one recording. So really when it comes to that, it's just a matter of listening to it. Often multiple times, often multiple validators will listen to the same recording and give their opinion. But there's not really any extreme technology other than our ears, I guess.
Some of the best technology, what's between our ears. Really fascinated by that, and really it's great that you and your colleagues can listen to those sounds and identify up to 12 frogs in the same recording. It's just amazing. Just before we finish up, how can people get involved, and is it possible for them to do it in their own backyard or their own location, especially while lots of people are in lockdown around Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. So all you have to do is get out your phone, bring out the Frog ID app and make a recording. You know, if you've got frogs in your backyard, that's great. You don't even need to leave your house, I guess. But if you go on a walk, say, to your local park, you've got a stream nearby and you can hear some frogs calling, just record them. And it doesn't really matter if you don't know what frog species it is, because we do that work for you. It also doesn't matter if you're not sure if it's an insect or frog, because you might be surprised that we do get a lot of insect recordings to the Frog ID app. So it's really as simple as just making a recording and submitting it.
I was going to ask about the ratio of crickets to frogs in your recordings, but I know I scored what I thought was a frog straight up, and of course it was a cricket or some sort of insect. Thank you, Gracie, for joining us this morning on Spotlight. It's been fascinating to learn all about frogs and the Frog ID project. Listeners, make sure you get the Frog ID app, and especially as you are walking around your local neighbourhood, some of you within 5 kilometres, you're still able to get out there and help as a citizen scientist with the Australian Museum's Frog ID project. Gracie, thank you for joining us. We wish you a great morning.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.